mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing.
Cousins of the day, Alex Strofe, hanging out with us. Again, catch him, Mr. Irrelevant, tomorrow. Mr. Irrelevant on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page, but of course you can hear him every day as the producer of KBN.
There you go, Joshy. Mr. Irrelevant listed first. That's for you.
That's the way it should be. All's right in the world.
Clear your throat, would you?
No.
How long have you been? You described yourself as the sidekick of Mr. Irrelevant.
He's the co-host. Yeah, we can put the co-host title okay. on him.
So, I mean, at what point, is this the first time you're putting the co-host title on him? Is this like a big step in your guys' relationship?
I mean, I don't know that I've ever verbalized it. I guess that's the role. He sits in the seat I'm currently sitting in. He spews nonsense for half of the episode when I'm not spewing nonsense for the other half. What a sell that was by me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we had quite a great Packers conversation.
We really did
yesterday.
We had a really good
About 20 minutes
wide receiver conversation. There's a 10-minute clip on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel if you want to. We talk about Devontae and DK at length and quite in depth because we were live when all of this news that you're about to get into and run through was going on yesterday. I mean, we are in the really, really fun part of the NFL offseason. And just I want to explain this for people because it is confusing quick before you run down some of the moves that happened yesterday. So the new league year, quote unquote, begins Wednesday at 11 o'clock locally. But that is not actually when everything begins. 11 o'clock Monday is when you will begin seeing moves, right? So it was about 12:10, I think, last year on the Monday when we learned about Josh Jacobs joining the Green Bay Packers. So the legal, the legal tampering period,
I think it's called? For lack of a better term, yes.
You will hear contracts announced beginning at 11:01 a.m. And how that happens, I don't know, right? Just in 60 seconds, agents and teams decide, yep, this is the right fit. So you will begin learning about free agency moves Monday, even though they will not be official until Wednesday. So we are here seeing all these corresponding moves ahead of free agency and what teams are gearing up for heading into the official offseason. This is a really, really, really fun time of the NFL offseason.
Oh, yeah. Especially when... For years, we would just ignore this part of the offseason.
Yes, we would.
As a Packers fan, because none of this matters.
They didn't do anything.
But other than, like, oh, maybe he's going to release someone.
Right. But now, last year, you see the swings, right? Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, who ended up being the two best players, objectively, on the Packers roster last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have the 14th most cap space in the league as it stands right now. You're likely going to have a Jair decision made here in the next couple days, if not today. You will see what the Packers decide to do with Jair Alexander, which we assume will ultimately be, he will be designated as a post-June 1st released to save you some cap space. But I imagine Goody will be active. It might not be names you know, like a Devontae Adams or DK Metcalf or a Myles Garrett.
Wait, you really think they're going to post June 1st? Again, now we're getting in the weeds here.
Yeah, sorry.
But why not just like release them and eat it all now? And you're great in the cap space.
Yeah, top half of the league.
Why push any of it when you're still going to end up getting $6 million on top of the cap?
Because it's
just straight up release them now.
Don't you make an additional $8 million by designating it?
Sure, but you don't need that money now.
Sure.
Like, just eat it all now so you don't have to worry about it at all next year.
Okay, fair.
Because they're in a healthy cap position.
They
If they
and
were
they're
in a
not
spot,
used to being here.
Correct, because they had to eat some from the Rodgers and some of the other veterans that they had toward the end of the Rodgers era. But you're in a really healthy cap spot now. You're still going to gain cap space. I just assumed he was going to be a straight-up release.
And he might be, right? I mean, looking at what the Chargers did with Joey Bosa, that's what they did with him, was just a straight-up release and eat it. And I'm curious to see how they handle that one. I know they've been searching for a trade. They'd rather get, say, a seventh or a sixth-round pick than nothing for Jair. But I don't think a team wants to take on, A, that contract, and B, or A, the contract, but also with B, the uncertainty of whether or not he'll be on the field.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's going to draw interest, and somebody will sign him to a contract.
Oh, definitely.
They don't.
He's
want
too good not to.
It'll be more of an incentive laden. Like, it'll be a contract that certainly favors the team versus favoring him the way the contract would write.
Last thing on Jair, we should never say never, but would you put it close to a 0% chance he's a Packer in 25?
Correct.
Yeah, I would too.
Which I have been on the record for this. I think with the uncertainty at that position that you already have, I would draft somebody there and still try to run it back with him because I think when he's on the field, he's a difference maker. And again, the $6 million that you're saving is, it's fine, but you're in a healthy cap spot.
Yeah.
You don't need the $6 million. I would want to run it back. It's obviously he has rubbed people within the building the wrong way with some of the reporting that's been happening this offseason around it. So clearly, to me, it's a foregone conclusion that he's gone.
Yeah, that is the position group, Gabe, that's actually the most interesting to me on how they approach it in the offseason, right? Wide receiver, top-end wide receiver, obvious need. And they might draft one in a middle round. Edge rusher, you need more impact there, right? Depth offensive line, sure. Every team needs a better sixth offensive lineman.
They do that every year. Correct. Like the Packers draft multiple offensive linemen every single year.
Right, and as they should, right? That's a thing they've done for years that seemingly has worked in their favor. The cornerback position is the one that intrigues me the most because, A, right, you have the Jair situation, which we will get an answer to within the next week at most. You have Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon under contract, and that's pretty much about it, right? I mean, Eric Stokes is a free agent. Corey Ballantyne's a free agent. I don't expect either of those guys back. So do you draft?
I wouldn't be shocked if Stokes is back.
I actually wouldn't be either. I just think a change of scenery would be really good for him.
He played well, though, in the last half of the season, and I think if the Packers go, hey, go out and see what you can get, if the market's not that big, I wouldn't be shocked if he's back on a year or two contract.
I just think that, as Tausche says often on Weldy and Tausch, right, like seventh-round picks have to prove they belong in the NFL, first-round picks prove they don't. That first-round pick thing that's going to be attached to him for the rest of his life, I think might cater a little bit more money elsewhere than he would in Green Bay.
If it does, then he's gone.
Right, I agree. But I'm certainly with you. I'm not against the idea of Stokes back in Green Bay. But corner is the position to me where I go, I'm scratching my head and I'm going, I don't know how they're going to approach that one. Would I love to see them go after DJ Reed from the Jets as the top free agent in that position group? Love to see them go after him. Do I think that happens? Probably not.
That's the one position in free agency, though, that has a couple of more impact players.
There's depth,
right? Like, you're taking a risk on if you go get a pass rusher. There's going to be some risk involved there of, okay, is this a young guy that's just about to pop the way that Za'Darius Smith did when they signed him back in 2019? Or is this somebody that's kind of similar to what we already have? He's not going to be a double-digit sack and really make a big-time impact. I think there's more risk at the pass rusher position. The wide receiver list is outside. I guess you could say there's risk with Devontae because he is older.
Yep.
But after that, it's just guys coming off of major injury or guys that are way past their prime.
Yeah.
And at the corner position, there seem to be, whether it's Ward, whether it's DJ Reed, whether it's Byron Murphy, there seem to be three guys there that fit the criteria that Goody wants, guys in their 20s, that you're not going to be getting the third contract to, and all those sorts of things that can make an impact on this team. So that's where I think they dive in on Monday and make a signing at the cornerback position.
Yeah, I hope you're right. And, simultaneously, I'm going to give Goody credit, and I'm going to knock Goody. Right, because to your point, on young guys that are about to pop or those kind of medium risk, medium contract, high reward moves in free agency, he's been very good at them, right? Think about even like the low risk, high reward moves. Rasul Douglas is a really good example. Mm-hmm. But then last year, it's a big contract, but it's a young guy who is about to pop in Xavier McKinney. He was the best player on their defense last year. So he's been really good there. But he can't figure it out in the first round. Look at Eric Stokes, who's likely about to walk out the door. So I'm all for Goody going bananas in free agency because just given his track record, the first round picks have not typically been immediate impact players for them or really impact players at all for a lot of them.
We will run through some of those moves coming up in just a little bit that happened in the NFL yesterday and how they impact the Packers. But get ready. 800-990-3776. We've got our top eight coming up next as looks like Joshy and Stroph be quizzing the Mr. Irrelevant Boys on what my list is going to be. We'll find out what that is coming up next. But Bucks fans, Screamin' Sicilian and Michelob Ultra have teamed up to offer you a hot deal. Stop by your local Pick and Save or Metro Market store and save up to $6 on the purchase of one Screamin' Sicilian Tavern style pizza when you purchase one Michelob Ultra 30 pack. Bucks, beer, and pizza. Doesn't get much better than that, especially there's going to be some Bucks games this weekend. Kick back. Enjoy those with the great Screamin' Sicilian Tavern-style pizza, that thin, crispy crust that you can enjoy with all the great toppings that you're used to when it comes to Screamin' Sicilian. So again, take advantage at Pick and Save or Metro Market. Save up to $6 when you buy a Screamin' Sicilian Tavern-style pizza and one Michelob Ultra 30-pack. Offers valid now through April 1st.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Oh my God.
Show me chicken.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, I got a list of 8 things in front of me. Strophy and Joshy going to each guess back and forth until they each get one incorrect, and then we open it up to you, the fans, at 800-990-3776 on the Carblues Talk and Text line. Whoever gets the last one on the list will win an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. So this list, I saw it a couple of different places yesterday, so we'll see if you guys saw it as well, depending upon how you do. I am looking for the 8 youngest players in NBA history to reach 20,000 points for your career.
Ooh, okay.
8 youngest players to reach 20,000 points.
I also did not see the list, but I think we have a pretty good chance of getting many of them.
I think so too, Joshy. Well, I would guess, given the fact that this has inspired the list, that Giannis would be on the list.
I would tend to agree with you.
Right, so Giannis scored his 20,000th point of his career last night for the Bucks. He is on the list at number 6, 30 years and 89 days.
LeBron James.
Number 1, 28 years, 17 days when he scored his 20,000th point.
You think Steph Curry's on this list, Joshy?
I would feel more comfortable with a Kobe Bryant, seeing as he went from high school to the NBA.
That is a great point. Let's go and lock that in. Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, number 3 on the list, 29 years, 122 days when he scored his 20,000th points.
What about a guy like Kevin Durant, Joshy?
That's where my mind was going.
One of the best scorers of the basketball ever. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. Kevin Durant.
He's number 2 on the list, 29 years, 103 days. So far you have 4, the top 3, LeBron James, KD, and Kobe, and then Giannis at number 6.
Feel like we... Michael Jordan, is he going to be on this list? The era of... If I get it wrong saying Michael Jordan, I'll be okay with it. Yeah. Michael Jordan.
That's right. Michael Jordan's number 5.
Yeah.
29
it's
years.
It's a basketball list. He's probably out.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's like if I'm asking you a baseball home run question.
Yeah.
If Babe Ruth's not on the list, like I'm okay
I'll
with
take
being
the L.
wrong on Babe Ruth.
Yeah, I'll take the L there. Okay.
I am interested in... Now, is someone... And I don't know how the eras were, but like a Wilt would make a ton of sense.
I just don't want to go before. I don't want to go before the 3-point line.
Shaq would make a lot of sense.
Shaq
to me.
Would make a lot of sense. I would be okay. Yeah, if you want to lock that in, Josh. If you want to risk your,
I'll go Shaq.
Shaq at 31 years and 14 days would be number 11.
Oh. Tough
on the list.
Okay, this is where it gets ugly. All right, here we go. Let's try some things. I said the name. I'm gonna go ahead and do it. Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. I don't see him here in my top.
You have
12.
To remember, Steph Curry was injured for like five years.
Played in college for a while. Was injured. Like had to literally learn how to rerun and walk so he could like survive his ankle injuries.
I overvalued the 3-point line.
You did.
Yeah.
You did. I mean, again, he scored a bunch. He just didn't necessarily do it early.
Okay, 5 out of 8 isn't bad, though. I'll take it.
Yeah, you guys, I would say you guys got the ones that I expected you to get. You guys were right where you should
be. Okay, that's a hint of sorts.
800-990-3776. We are now open up to you, the fan. We are looking for the 8 youngest players to score 20,000 in their career. Giannis, now number 6 on this list after scoring his 20,000th career point last night when the Bucks defeated the Mavericks, 800-990-3776.
I understand they were playing the Mavs G League team.
Yeah.
Really nice win, though. Dame was so efficient. I think he finished with 34, 36. Giannis had 30, as you mentioned, and obviously getting into that threshold. The package they showed for him, did you see the video of him watching it?
I did see,
which was really cool.
Yeah, and he talked about that after the game. But what was nice about also having like a big blowout win on the second night of a back-to-back, Giannis only plays 25 minutes. Dame only plays 27 minutes. You're able to kind of rest some guys.
And get deep into your bench, too, which is nice because this this Bucks team's been rejuvenated post-trade deadline. So I think we were all a little wrong, right? This has worked even without Bobby. So excited about where this team's at. Good stretch coming up.
Look, I don't understand how it's worked with Kyle Kuzma. All I know is that it's worked.
Yeah, me too.
I've been on the call for some of these games, and it just, for whatever reason, has worked. Because then you take a look at his numbers, and it's like, well, he's still not being super efficient scoring the basketball, but it's still somehow working for them.
Do you know your record when you call Bucks games, the Bucks record when you were on the call, by chance? Have you kept track of that?
This year, it's 4-1.
Wow.
I think, yeah. It'd be 4-1.
That's pretty good.
Only loss at Portland for the Bucks.
Okay.
And hopefully that continues, because I've got the games this weekend. There's a big big one on Sunday. Big one on Sunday against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, that's the start of a really fun stretch, too.
Back to the phone lines, the Carbless Talk and Text line, 800-990-3776. We are looking for the 8 youngest players to score 20,000 points in their NBA career. We know Giannis is on this list after getting his 20,000th last night. Strofe and Josh also knocked off LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, the top 3. We do not have 4. MJ is 5, and then we need 7 and 8 as well. Let's go to Andy. Andy, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to guess Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett is not on the list.
Okay, I like where his head's at, though. Straight out of high school.
He played 1 year in college.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but played the 1 year at Syracuse.
But 19 when he entered the league. Okay, I like where his head's at, though. This is an interesting list.
Yeah, it is a very interesting list to get the last 3 that are remaining. You guys may have discussed one of the names.
Okay, there's another hint.
Throw that out there. 800-990-3776. Looking for the last or the 8 youngest players to score 20,000 points in their NBA career after Giannis scored his 20,000th last night. 30 years, 89 days. 6th youngest. Again, putting him in some pretty good company in terms of the names that are ahead of him and even a little bit behind him. Yep. John in Milwaukee, you're up next on the top 8 at 8.
James Harden?
James Harden is number 8 on this list.
Good get.
30 years and 138 days, leaving us with number 4 and number 7.
All right.
Carmelo Anthony was number 9 on the list. So he would have been 8 yesterday, but then Giannis knocked him out.
You were right 24 hours
Mello,
ago.
Yes, Mello, 30 years, 157 days. Now number 9 on that list. 800-990-3776, looking for the 8 latest, the 8 youngest players to score 20,000 points. Stevie, yes, Garnett did not play at Syracuse. We were talking about Carmelo Anthony. KG came out of high school. That's why he's not up. But he didn't score that many points that young. Mike and Franklin, you're up next. Mike, you're on the top 8 at 8.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. I'm gonna go with Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain, number 4 on the list. 29 years, 134 days.
Yeah, the guy who scored, allegedly, 100 points in a game.
Why would you doubt that? It was on a piece of paper that he held up in his locker, Josh.
Yeah, right.
Just because there's no film of it.
The opposing coach calling it a farce kind of feels like a good indication.
Old-timey sports are so hilarious. Uh-huh. Mike, can you close out the list? Do you have number 7?
I'm going to guess. I don't know the latest player that went to the Lakers, Luka Doncic.
Luka, not at 20,000 points yet. I'm sure he's going to have a really good chance of getting there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because, again, young player scores a bunch of buckets, but yeah, he's still only 26 years old. I don't know what his career point total is right now, but he's going to have a very good chance of being in the top 8 probably in 4 or 5 years.
He's at about 13,000.
Okay.
So just over 12. So, I mean,
he's on his way.
On his way.
Well on his way. Rex and Exonia. Rex, you're up next. Top 8 at 8.
Karl Malone.
Karl Malone is incorrect. Incorrect on Karl Malone. Again, we're looking for number 7. The 8 youngest players to score 20,000 points in the NBA. Joe in Milwaukee, do you have number 7?
Well, I'm going to have to guess Kareem.
Kareem. He was just outside the list as well. 30 years, 342 days would have put him now at number 10. So he's now number 10 on the list.
So we've got 9 of the top 10 knocked out.
Everybody that would have been in the top 10 yesterday outside of the one name we've got.
Wow.
Brandon in Mayville, you're up next. Brandon, you're on the top 8.
Steph Curry.
Steph Curry, already incorrectly guessed, so I'll give you another one because that was already guessed.
I do not have another guess.
All right. Brian in Milwaukee.
Thanks for nothing, bro.
Brian in Milwaukee. Do Do you have number seven?
How about Moses Malone?
Moses Malone. I like the guess, but it's incorrect.
Oh.
Is this last name less of a household name than some of the others or most of the others?
Sure, but it's...
A significant player to the history of the NBA, but not one when you think greatest that comes to top of mind.
Right. Huh.
Yeah, I don't want to... There is one hint I want to give, but that would just kind of give it away.
Okay.
800-990-3776 is the Carpool's Talking text line. Trying to close out our top eight at eight. The eight youngest players in NBA history to score 20,000 points. See if John in Milwaukee can close it out.
Olajuwon.
Hakeem not on the list.
Man.
That was a popular guess on the... on the talk and text line as well.
Can I ask a question? Or is it
sure.
Might be a hint.
I mean, if you can ask the question, I might not answer it.
Was I alive for this person's prime?
800-990-3776. Okay. Nas in Detroit. See if you can close out the top 8 at 8.
I'm going to say Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson, another popular guess on the talk and text line, is incorrect.
Okay.
Incorrect on AI. I'm loving all these guesses.
Yeah, me
but
too.
But again, just not quite right.
I'm stumped, man.
Mike in Franklin, you're up next. Mike, can you close out the top 8 at 8?
Let's
we
go,
just
Mike.
Need number 7 on the 8 youngest players to ever score 20,000 points in the NBA.
I'm not sure if this is correct, but I had an overstate. Magic Johnson came to the league pretty young. Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson is incorrect.
So.
Cuz my guess is the problem. I mean, Magic just didn't score a ton.
Right.
Like he scored a lot, but not like
he did.
The way that, you know, like Giannis is second in the league in scoring this year. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the type of player Magic Johnson was. Chris in Whitefish Bay, you're up next, Chris. Top 8 at 8 on Gen Game.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Hey, how you guys doing? I got one of Milwaukee's favorite sons, Oscar Robertson.
Oscar Robertson, at 30 years and 97 days, is number 7 on the list. The Big O.
Good get. Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed him.
Yeah, that's... Again, it's a name everybody knows and recognizes.
Of course.
But Josh's point, while he is one of the best players in NBA history, he's not one of those that instantly comes to mind. But yeah, Oscar Robertson. So
pretty good company for old Giannis.
Yeah, yeah. Again, the five ahead of him, MJ, Wilt, Kobe, KD, and LeBron. And then Oscar Robertson, James Harden behind him.
Huh.
Youngest players to get to 20,000 points.
I feel like we did okay.
No, again, I mean, you mentioned Wilt, so if you'd have gotten Wilt, I think that would have put you over the top. Like, James Harden, I thought that was a tough one.
I really thought Kevin Garnett would be on here. I thought that was a good guess.
Yeah, but again, he wasn't like a 30-point-a-game scorer.
No.
You know, like,
he would average,
but he would average around 20 or so. You know, his best years were probably 25, 26.
Hmm. Fun list, Gabe.
Yeah.
Good job.
Oh. Glad that
you get the stamp of approval from me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
I
coming to your house, I'm going to tell you it's a nice house.
Okay. Well, thank you. I don't know what to do with that information. So I'm just going to tell you about our friends at Fifth Third Bank. If you're looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner, Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. We offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. This is a great team over there. I love hanging out with my guys at Fifth Third Bank. And again, it is a large company, but with the team they have in Milwaukee, they can help the specific problems that you have here locally. So at Fifth Third Bank, they're big enough to provide those sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, yet empowered to make local decisions and build strong community connections, which they certainly have done. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I do.
Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the
it
minus.
Easy. Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do.
On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now, Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, there are some names and some big things that happened in the NFL yesterday. Outside of the world of DK Metcalf, who did ask for a trade, but as we know in the NFL, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Myles Garrett has also requested a trade, the Browns refusing to make him available. The list is long of people who have asked for a trade and have ultimately decided to stay put. Look no further than T. Higgins a year ago in Cincinnati, requested a trade, stayed put, now they're trying to figure out a long-term extension with him, despite throwing the franchise tag on him for a second consecutive.
Remember the Lamar Jackson saga?
Oh, yeah, Lamar Jackson asked for a trade.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot all about that.
Snoop Huntley.
It just never... The NFL, like, somebody asking for a trade just means absolutely nothing.
I totally forgot about that.
I mean, the list, what, probably 75-25 guys who ask for a trade that ultimately stay where they ask for
it feels like it's becoming more common where teams are more willing to move on because we have seen teams get more aggressive and more freewheeling in the trade market. But if it's 9 out of 10 times in the NBA, it's 2 to 3 times out of 10 in the NFL.
Yeah, it just does not happen all that often still, despite guys asking for trades. But there are certain things that we know did indeed happen yesterday. While you can still have your pipe dream about Myles Garrett, even though the Browns have said we are not making him available, cross off the list, Max Crosby. Locked into a long-term extension yesterday with the Las Vegas Raiders. Kind of had a feeling this was happening the way that he had been talking about maybe even recruiting players and buying in with Pete Carroll being the coach there. But Max Crosby, it was nice to dream about, but ultimately not going to happen.
Yeah, I've kind of felt this way about all the edge rushers, right? Him, Myles Garrett, you mentioned Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati. It just feels unlikely for all three of those guys because they're so good. Why would these teams move on from them? Crosby felt like the most realistic option to me. I think I just had, you know, irrationally talked myself into it. Just a hair. It is what it is, but oh well.
But again, I mean, when you hire Pete Carroll, again, that's not necessarily a long-term solution for your team.
Well,
you're hiring Pete Carroll because you think you can turn it around quickly.
Correct.
And that's how you convince someone like Max Crosby to stick around.
Yeah, the only issue for them, though, is, Gabe, who's going to play quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, again, every mock draft I look at now, and again, we're still 6 weeks away from the draft. We're still a ways away, probably even more than
seven weeks
away at this point. Shedeur Sanders seems to be falling to them in just about every mock draft.
Eesh.
So I think they're very high on Shedeur.
Good luck turning that one around.
Wait, you don't like Shedeur? I think I like Shedeur more than I like Cam Ward.
Oh, come on. It's not that I don't like him. I don't know if it'll work, especially if he goes to a bad team like the Raiders.
Well, I mean, you're going to go to a bad team.
Well,
you're a quarterback.
You say that.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels worked out all right.
Yeah, but he went to a bad team. But the reason they're good is him.
A huge part of it, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the big reason why they're good is because he's that good.
And I know I was very wrong on Caleb Williams. I thought he was going to go walking into a pretty safe situation, and that certainly was not the case.
I mean, again, but that's an organization that's been a dumpster fire in terms of making leadership decisions.
Well, so is the Raiders.
Yeah, but they may have made a good decision here. In terms of hiring Pete Carroll. Have to wait and see on that.
I won't argue with that.
But there is a pass rusher that is officially available. Joey Bosa, released by the Los Angeles Chargers. 5-time Pro Bowler. Saved $25 million in change in cap space. Bosa now can sign anywhere. What's your interest level in Bosa?
Medium. Not against it. Not super for it. I think the price tag's high for a guy that's dealt with a slew of injuries the last few years. Obviously a premier talent, a really, really good edge rusher, and a guy that would obviously help this Packers defense. It just doesn't feel like a goody signing. But if it happens, I'll praise it.
I'm all the way out.
All the way out?
All the way out.
Why?
No interest. If we're going to sit here and wring our hands every year, is Christian Watson going to be available? If we're going to be ticked off to the point where we're shipping Jair out, you know who's been available less?
Joey Bosa?
Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even been...
He could be our new Jair, though.
He hasn't had a 10-sack season since 2021.
Really? Okay.
Last time, then that's also, I, you know, make not, it, not coincidentally, the last time he played a full
make
season.
Make it low interest if it's on a good price tag.
This was the healthiest he's been. He played 14 games this last year, 5 sacks.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was only 5 or 6. Yeah.
So I'm not, the guy's going to be turning 30 soon.
Could you make the change of scenery argument?
If it wasn't so injury dependent.
Yeah, that's
downfall.
Fair. That's a fair point.
Also, a Harbaugh moving on from a Bosa tells me there's more than just, like, not a fit.
Now, that is a good point.
Like, those two, the Bosas and the Harbaughs, are a marriage made in heaven.
Yeah, right?
despite the fact Ohio State versus Michigan, but I hear
you. Yeah, but I mean, no, just like-minded individuals.
Yes.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Like-minded individuals.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yes. So I would roll my eyes at a Joey Bosa signing because I don't think he's solving anything.
What if it's cheap? And I don't think it would be, so never mind.
Yeah, what we're talking $3 million?
Probably more than that.
$5 million?
Let's say a 2-year deal at $20 million.
Maybe. It's gotta be incentive laced. I don't want to be locked into guaranteeing him $10 million.
Okay.
Like, again, if he was productive this year, sure. But he was relatively healthy and
unproductive.
We've got guys that could get 10 sacks in a season. Or excuse me, 5 sacks in a season.
We have Packers, 5.
Packers,
don't have 10.
Yeah, that's what I meant. We are littered with guys that can get 5 sacks.
Yeah.
I'm looking for that next level. And if you don't have that potential to get me that next level, I guess he's got some of that potential.
Aren't you realizing we're at a point where they might not get that next level guy? At least the sexy name. They might get a guy who could turn into productive.
But Joey Bosa, somebody who hasn't had a double-digit sack season since 2021,
yeah,
was relatively healthy this past year at 5 sacks, is about to turn 30. Doesn't sound like a goody guy.
No, it does not.
Does not sound like a goody guy to me. And then finally, Zach Bond locking up a long-term deal to remain in Philadelphia with the world champion Eagles. The Zach, the touchdown maniac. Shout out to Mike Padol. That was his nickname after he scored 7 touchdowns as a quarterback for Brown Deer High School back in the day. He is locked into a long-term deal, sticking around with the Philadelphia Eagles after switching from a pass rusher to an off-ball linebacker.
Great. Great move for both sides. I mean, he was so huge in their Super Bowl run, and obviously being an area guy and a Wisconsin grad, couldn't be happier for him. First ever guest on Mr. Irrelevant. Fun fact for you.
Really?
Yes, when he was playing for the New Orleans Saints. He was on episode 6 of Mr. Irrelevant prior to Packers Saints, which was that awesome comeback at Lambeau Field last year. He went from being a literal special teams guy in New Orleans to one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker in the league
this
year.
First team All-Pro.
An amazing story for a local guy. Really, really happy for him. And I don't want to say happy for the Eagles because I don't want them to win.
Yeah.
And obviously beating the Packers twice this year in route to a Super Bowl. But that was the absolute correct decision by them.
Is there a lesson to be learned? Because they also locked up Saquon Barkley to a contract earlier this week. Is there a lesson to be learned by Goody? Taking a look at what Howie Roseman's doing in Philadelphia, hey, make sure you take care of your own guys that are making these huge impacts.
I could make the opposite argument, though, and I hate to put this on Zach Bond, who I really like and hope has all the success in the world and now obviously gets his first big, really big payday in the NFL. Didn't Goody kind of do this already with a guy by the name of Devondre Campbell? Comes in off the street, hasn't had a ton of success in the league, goes off for an amazing season, leads the team in tackles, goes first team All-Pro, signs this massive contract, and then jumps into the pool, man. You never really hear from him again.
That's not true. We've heard plenty from
that's
him.
That's a good point. I
mean, not good things, but we've heard from him.
I think there's a big difference here where Zach Bond changed positions and kind of reinvented himself and that Eagles defense largely. Like, we watched that Devondre Campbell season. It didn't feel like the Zach Bond season, but no. I think what's informative from it is...
Like, we walked away when at least I guess I can't speak for you guys. When I found out that Devondre Campbell was named first team All-Pro, my first reaction was, really?
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like, he played well,
I thought. Like, he was good. Yes. I didn't think he was best off-ball linebacker in the league type material or in that conversation.
And then Goody paid him like it.
But Howie Roseman does have a long history and a successful one of... When guys go out there and impress and exceed their value for your team and your team has success, he pretty much immediately pays them. And I think Goody could do a better job because the way it speaks in the locker room and the way it speaks to other free agents is if I do my job and I do it well, I'm going to seek the benefits. They are not going to take advantage of me or say, hey, we can keep you around for a little bit more. Like, it was totally unnecessary to do what they did with Saquon Barkley to the extent they did. But they realized he's the biggest factor. Now, Devontae Adams, as we all know and saw, was the biggest factor of the Packers offense and the stir that makes the drink in a special way. I do think there is, not only just from keeping your team good, but there is an incentive to keeping the guys in your locker room happy. Because, I mean, Chewy tells us all the time, guys look around and compare prices and go, I can't believe they're paying him this much, or I can't believe this guy isn't getting paid. Like, that stuff matters to players a lot. And I think post-Aaron Rodgers has been bad.
Yeah, I mean, for Goody, is the biggest example of him not paying the guy is Devontae.
Devontae.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
I mean, is there anybody else he hasn't that he should have?
I guess we could bring up the fact that he lowballed Aaron Jones, but obviously he's on the back end of his career last year, and he undeniably upgraded. But he didn't take care of Aaron Jones when he said he was going to in his end-of-season press conference last year.
Yeah, I think there's probably guys who you could just do better by, and maybe they eventually, but it always seems dragged out, doesn't it? Like every contract and every extension.
Yeah.
Aside from the ones that are no-brainers, like the David Bakhtiari that was.
Yeah, and like Zach Bond, they had to take care of now because he was set to become a free agent.
Yep.
Right, so Monday, other teams could finally start talking to him. You didn't have to do Saquon.
No.
So that would be the example to me. You didn't have to do Saquon. And so is it just a matter of timing? Because I think we all believe that Zach Tom's going to be taken care of.
Yep, yep.
But why not take care of it now? Why wait until training camp?
Right, why delay it? Because you are sending a message to your locker room and to free agents out there. You play well, you get rewarded. It's a different philosophy, I think, than the one Goody lives by, where they're trying to get as much out of you for as cheap as possible, and Howie just kind of says, you produced, you're worth it. Like, $30 million for an off-ball linebacker who played one season of it is rewarding your guy handsomely. Like, they could have probably gotten him for cheaper if they really wanted.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't have a problem with them doing what they're going to do with Zach Tom because of the way that Russ Ball typically does contracts.
Right.
How much can you front load? How much money do we have now? And then we can use that to our advantage for the contract down the line. We'll continue to talk about this. That's coming up next. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Running out of time here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do want to thank Alex Strofe for stepping in as our cousin sub of the day. Homer coming in tomorrow, and then the two of them we'll be running things along with Joshy on Monday as free agencies could be set to be open. Yeah,
laugh is a good way to.
I can't wait for it. Honestly, cannot wait for it.
I'm intrigued. What's Homer like at 7 a.m.?
Like he is at any other moment of the day.
Okay. Any tips Homer's on working with Homer?
Homer's Homer. No, I mean, you've been around Homer enough.
Just embrace the chaos?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the best way to do it.
All right. I think I can handle that.
Do you think by the time that you and Homer convene for this show Monday morning, Devontae Adams will be off the market?
Yes, I do. I do. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we get Devontae Adams news today or tomorrow, to be real honest with you. Given that he can sign with anybody at any time is really, really interesting to me. Hope Goody's on the phone. Not certain he is.
Again, so much of it makes sense until you get to the age portion of it. And that's what makes me question whether or not Goody would be in on this move. But he knows he needs to upgrade that position and the rest of the lists.
Yeah.
Not really Goody friendly either.
It's going to be fun.
Catch Strofe tomorrow. Mr. Irrelevant, KBN later today. Wildy and Tausch coming up next.